Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Welcome, everybody, to the second week of Adventine.
Yeah, it is week two of Advent.
Woo! A few things you should know as we begin. As always, heads up, we're Catholic in an official and loose translation, which means we'll tiptoe up to the edge of blasphemy and heresy, might pole vault over it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Catholic to listen along.
And some people might say that we're more heretical than Catholic, but...
Well, they are wrong.
Those people have a stick up their butt.
We received Eucharist in the most recent fashion on a holy day of obligation that is actually fake.
Exactly.
And there you go. That sums us up.
Yeah.
Anyway, you don't have to be Catholic to listen. We also sometimes swear a little bit.
Did you actually go to Mass for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception?
I went to the vigil on Friday.
Wow. That's impressive.
Full confession, because my friend wanted to go.
Yeah. You're like so much more Catholic than I am right now.
Okay, but I did not make full confession the double Mass weekend thing happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you didn't double dip.
I went, no.
So you went for...
I thought about it.
You went for the feast of the fake thing that never happened.
Like I said, because of convenience.
And then you went...
I was a little sad. I would have, if it was me picking, I probably would have preferred the Advent Mass.
Yeah.
Because I think that's more meaningful.
Well, while we're confessing, I skipped them both because I drank too much this weekend.
Hey, just drunk. I also drank a lot, which is once again why the only one happened on the vigil.
Yeah.
But in the words of Guess, you know, it's not cheating if you planned it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
It's not cheating if you planned it.
Well, this is a wonderful start after last week when we were supposed to confess and like look at what we're messing up in the world.
Right. Yeah.
Now we're back to that.
We're back to that. This was supposed to be the week of light and joy. And we should be talking about how wonderful our Sunday Mass experience was to start off this week of joy.
As we're trying to like defend our Catholicism.
I can imagine.
Practicing Catholicism.
In my mind's eye, that Sunday Mass looks real special.
I mean, there's two candles lit
this week. Yeah.
There's two candles lit. Yeah. So let's come back to something that does always give us light, most faithfully, booziness.
Booziness.
What are you drinking, Guess?
Well, I am drinking from, once again, the Advent beer calendar. So
magical.
24 beers to get you through December. And they're all German style. And this one is the St. Bonifacius. Premium craft beer. Doesn't really give it a particular type, but it's like, you know what? There's like a type of beer where you drink it and you're like, that tastes German.
Yeah.
That's this one, right? So this is
it
like...
It belongs to Stein.
The sort of classic, like lager style or Pils- yeah. I would Pilsner style perhaps.
Oh, you got the golden Pils.
Yeah.
So, and I have to just throw out because nobody else can see how beautiful the can
Isn't
that
it?
Saint Bonifacius
like a stained glass window.
Can. It's gilded.
For your liver.
It's a gilded beer lily. It's beautiful. It's white and gold and it's really nice. So if you can find this brewed in Bavaria treat.
Saint Bonifacius.
Seems like a holy thing to drink in Lent.
Is a patron saint of brewers, even though Saint Augustine was always my go-to patron saint of brewers.
I think we need some research on this.
Yeah. So, well, okay. I'm researching it right now and it's delicious.
All you need to know.
And you? What are you drinking?
Okay, well, on the darker side of the pills. Yes, Dizzy here drinking Lagunitas Dark Pils.
Dark Pils.
So, like Dark Pils, like Ambien, I was thinking earlier, but it's not.
Like,
go to sleep in the darkness of Advent.
Just one L in your glass for Dark Pils.
Just
but
one
the double L.
Sounds like it,
pills.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a strangely bitter Pilsner, I must say. But it's not bad.
No, it's not
bad. I don't hate it.
And it is. It's Advent in a glass because you have... Pilsner, light, obscured, however, temporarily by the fact that they've made a dark Pilsner, which I've never seen before.
Yeah, it's a different thing. And we also wanted to share with you a nice cocktail recommendation. We know
given our weekend,
enjoy...
we were not up for cocktails.
No,
but
not at all.
I'll sip a beer and tell you about a cocktail.
Yeah. So to honor that feast day that we mentioned, that only became a feast day, which is why we think it's kind of fake. In 1854, the Immaculate Conception, which
the feast of Mary's sinless status,
super white,
which I just feel like makes her not real. I would rather have Mary be real.
You know, I think whenever the church in the 1800s like wanted to dabble into like the accuracy of things, just go with the opposite of what they said. That's probably the way you should go.
I mean.
It's like pretend.
In defense of the holiday.
Oh,
right?
Please. Here's let me hold my dark pills.
Ultimate devil's advocate. Here we go. I think
rubs his hands together.
Two things. Number one, Feast of the Immaculate Conception does drive home the point that Mary was the ideal vessel for God to enter into the world, right?
And her whole life she was preparing for
I believe that that is the case. I also believe that she could have actually sinned and still been that ideal entry point for God to get into the world. I also think it sells her short. I think it sells any woman short when you say, oh, you're just a vessel for some other thing to enter into the world, right?
Here, so, here, feminist guests always represented for the women.
So number one, it does make you go, okay, well, there was a plan and this was this invitation was always going to be on the table for Mary. So it makes you think. Number two, it does take you down a theological road, right? What would constitute the perfect person to bring God into the world? I would argue that that person would not have to be sinless.
That that person would be an actual person.
It would be, right.
Who had, you know,
can you be woke if you don't sin? I don't know that you can.
I don't think you can be human in our current understanding.
Exactly. So, you know,
and I don't even, I never like this new Eve, new Adam talk. Like that is just not an avenue that I embrace. Weird. It's a weird like human contorting of what we're trying to understand.
Adam and Eve had one job. It was to bone. And that is not Mary and Jesus' job, so let's not call them the new Adam and new
Eve.
Dude,
you are fully on your own on this whole thing. I'm not even touching that with a stick. I'm going straight back to the light and goodness of alcohol.
Not touching it with a stick. That's what she said. That's what she said. All right. You walked into it. You opened the door.
I didn't even know it. All right. Sorry, Mary.
Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Fucking vessel. All right.
Thank you for making us think, Mother Church, but agree to disagree on this one. Tell us about the cocktail.
Yes. So this one's called the White Lady. And if that name puts you off, call it the Immaculate Conception.
The Immaculate Conception, yeah.
Yeah, because that should also put you off.
The White Lady.
Yes, but it sounds delicious and it's simple. This is like a dizzy level recipe right here. Everyone. 2 ounces gin, 1 ounce triple sec, and 1 ounce lemon juice shaken together with ice 40 times, as always. Thank you, Drinking with the Saints, and then strained into a cocktail glass.
There you go.
I would for sure drink that next Immaculate Conception and call it my holy day of obligation fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bingo.
So we hope you have yourself something delightful to sip this season.
White lady, Palestinian lady, whatever kind of lady.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Is that Anchorman? Is he here? Is Ron Burgundy visiting us?
I like all the ladies.
All the ladies.
Any kind of lady you want.
There's not even scotch available. Okay. Well, if you like your ladies as well as your sweet baby Jesus, we're here for you.
Yeah.
So this is the week where we wanted to talk about the next step in the exam. And so we've gone through like gratitude.
Right. So what we've been doing is we've been taking our Advent experience and we've kind of been paralleling it with the Ignatian exam, which
we love.
Sort of makes sense because you start with gratitude and that is Thanksgiving kind of predates on the calendar, you know, Advent. And so we start off with some gratitude and then you move forward from there. Usually you visit the highlights and find out where God has been moving in your life. Yep. And then you consider the lowlights. But you're free to mix and match with
and
the
we
exam.
Did.
So
and
last
we did.
Week we looked at lowlights and we talked about some of the darkness in the church, which is very Advent-y. We have to go through that darkness.
We
connect
felt
with that.
We couldn't put it off any further.
Right. But now that leads us to the point where we get to look at those highlights.
Yes. And fittingly, some of our highlights kind of springboarded off of some of those dark points that we wanted to
And the examen address. Is very much about like finding God in all things, right? That's like the Ignatian ideal is that you go out and you look around and in sometimes reflecting on insignificant moments in your life, or at least what seemed insignificant at the time, you can realize God was really present there.
And I think one of the the part where the exam can get very beneficial is on those times when it's really hard to think of good things.
Totally.
About yourself or about your life. So, like, that's kind of where, like, the power of this practice comes into play. So it's appropriate for us, especially when we're in the wallowiness to say, okay, well, wait, time out. Where have I been present or where have I seen God? And if I haven't, then that's on me.
Yeah. And so last week when we were talking about the darkness, the sort of bad things and the low lights and what are the things that are really just connecting us with that that sort of large expanse of waiting for something to get better that is part of an Advent theme. We very much were focused on, like, church scandal and all of the nastiness that's coming up. And it's bubbling to the surface again.
Yep.
And there's even been some,
as it should,
some new headlines about it just in the last few days. There was one that caught my eye about some nuns who we have done some solid shout outs for nuns for their
on the whole
solid work in the church and their work in education in particular and the
lives of service.
Millions of people who have been helped in some way, shape, or form by women who have given their life over to service and to others. And then you read through the headlines and there's a story about nuns that were extorting money from a school instead of actually there to help it out. And it's like, come on, people, can't we do better than that?
Well, and I think like
also, if you're extorting money, is a Catholic school going to be the first place where you start?
I mean, I guess you use what you've got. You know, you just go with what you have. And I think this is one of those times like everybody together now. What's the lesson we've learned? Don't put people, even nun people, even priest people, on pedestals because they have a tendency to come toppling right off.
They do. They do. And it's kind of like, you know.
So we love nuns, but they ain't perfect.
And yeah, it's always a wake-up call to say, all right, like maybe we expect too much or maybe, you know, well, it's not expecting too much to just not extort money.
No, we're not but wrong in our expectations.
When somehow you attach more significance to it because it's nuns, it's like, well, you know, they're humans. They're human beings. But that was disappointing to see. So a little touch of darkness.
Little spot of that. On the other hand, nuns are also, like the rest of us, can be victims of this, you know, scandals and abuse.
Right.
I wouldn't like file this into like a bright spot or anything, but there was sort of a, not a direct parallel. It wasn't intended to be, but another, in this last week, a news story about some religious women who were being abused by some priests as well. So it's something that touches everybody, literally, I guess, in the church. Whatever, you're talking about a stick.
No, it's true, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what about something else good?
So I think if we continue with the same theme, right, and we looked at how devastating it is every time that this new wave of allegations against the church and not just allegations, substantiate. Like every time that we find out there has been more abuse in our church, abuse of power, and then sexual abuse and all of these things that come to the surface, I think what I'm seeing right now that gives me just that little bit of hope, right? And that's what Advent is. It's that little point of light in the midst of the darkness is that what I'm seeing this time, and maybe I'm just setting myself up to be devastated again, but I'm seeing a movement towards transparency that we haven't seen before.
I think you're right.
Because in the past, it's always been like, hey, everybody, we need to be more transparent. We need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. We need to be sure that da-da-da-da. But it's always been like, well, looking ahead, here's the plan.
Yeah.
But now there's like, we need to release a list of names. We need to name names of people who have done this, and that needs to hold us accountable. People need to know that their name is on the line.
And not only, like, we're releasing a list of names, but, like, the whole list, the accurate list.
Right.
You know, a couple of dioceses that came out first were quickly criticized because they had not released all their records or their information was inaccurate. So now everybody's like, all right, we have to release this and it has to be accurate. And you're like, these are things we should not have to tell you.
Yeah.
But baby steps, something is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Well, like you can't punish the intention to do better.
Right.
Like that is the only forgiveness I'll show is like, okay, you're trying.
Totally.
Like try harder.
And, you know, us being, you know, as we kind of do the Ignatian examine and where we learned how to do that was at Jesuit schools.
Right.
And I'm sure you, like I, am on the email lists for those schools and you get the email from the president.
Yep.
And it's happened from various different Jesuit universities where they say, hey, here it is. Full disclosure, full transparency. Everybody from our region of the Jesuits that has had substantiated allegations leveled against them. And full disclosure, we don't employ anybody that has any substantiated allegations against them. Like, here it is. We're laying it on the line. These are the ones who fucked up that we don't associate with them anymore because we can't, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think they've done almost all the provinces. And, like, Jesuit provinces are pretty big.
Yeah.
Like, the West province is, like, the whole West Coast plus some. And, like, you know, they've consolidated. So I think almost everybody in the U.S. has come out with that list on the Jesuit side. So but I think that's, it's a bummer to even see anybody on that list, to
is.
Be honest.
It is, but I had when I was thinking about, like, what is giving me a little bit of hope in the midst of all that darkness, the fact that that has never really been the tone before, that we're just, we are going to dump it all, like a literal just data dump. Here is a huge list of names of priests that have had either allegations of abuse or have been found to have covered up abuse. And those lists are too long. And if you look at them, you can be very easily disheartened. But if you look at the fact that that is coming out and being brought into the public eye, I think that is a little ray of hope.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. That's the only way forward. Yeah. We believe that. So that is a small ray of hope. We can always hope that we'll continue to improve there.
Yeah. What else, though? What aside from
another churchy news
abuse and whatnot.
Yeah, which I think we're trying to keep talking about, you know? But the other positive one of the news I saw was that in Connecticut, a bishop who's been inspired by Pope Francis's call to, recognize the role of women more formally in the church, which is a real thing. It's Bishop Caggiano. And he went to the October Synod in Rome and came back, you know, really fired up that women's voices. I mean, once again, like, side note, like, I realize he should not have to have this realization so late in career or life or whatever, but he did, and he took some action, which I want to commend and call it as a highlight, because he put a woman in charge of one of the parishes in his diocese. Yeah. So, like, she's not the pastor, but she's whatever her title is. The priests are doing just sacramental duties, and she's running the parish and, like, working with the lady to figure out what the mission of that parish is and how best to run it, and, like, all the dudes have to answer to her, which is really groundbreaking. Like, that's crazy, and I can't think of any other time I've seen that, and I've never seen it in my personal experience.
And I do think, I mean, I think right now, and we've talked about it before, I think that we're at a crossroads where if at least in this country, if Catholicism is going to survive with the same sense of tradition that it has had for a long time. Healthy tradition, I'm talking about, too.
Right, like, no, like the beautiful stuff.
Is not stuff like, let's go back to the pre-Vatican 2 days. But, like, you know, if we want to continue to have a healthy, vibrant church that is built on the foundations of the people that went before us, we have to rethink those power structures. And we have to say, we don't, the reality is there is a priest shortage. Yep. And we have to get creative with how we're going to handle that. And I totally applaud that bishop for saying, well, let's think differently about how a parish can work.
Right. And it's not even like, it's kind of letting go of some of our more modern traditions. You know, the longer tradition of the church always had women in organizing roles and doing all kinds of things. So, like, that's not even anti-tradition. It's just a farther back tradition. And I think a lot of priests are a little bit relieved if they can not have to do those things. They're not trained for that. It's not, you know, I don't think most priests are like, I am called to an administrator level of management. Right. Like, that's not what they're answering.
Let me balance the books. That's why I became a priest. No, nobody says that.
Yeah. So, way to go, Bishop Caggiano of Connecticut.
Yeah. So there's
church
certainly
drunk thinks you're cool.
If you, church, you get the church drunk seal of approval.
Ooh, we gotta come up with that. Yeah. It's a badge for you.
So there's a couple things going on where we can look at, like, the institutional church and say, hey, you know, if you look close enough, sometimes it takes a magnifying glass, but you can find a little bit of light and a little bit of hope. What about personally? Like, how's your Advent going, Diz? Where are you finding a little bit of happy joy?
You know, when I was doing my own exam and to think about this in preparation, I realized that, like, I think I'm having, like, the best Advent I've had in a while. And it's so early in it that I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
But I think I actually feel spiritually better than I felt in some time.
Why?
Which is,
explain. Like, how do you
I don't
that
know.
Like, so what do you, like, what's your measuring stick for
so
your spiritual
just
health?
Just even being able to, like, identify some of these things and be, like, a tiny bit forgiving about some of this stuff, or like feel like not despairing.
Yeah.
The absence of despair. My darkness, I am able to focus more on the light than on the darkness. And the darkness has been pretty fucking dark lately. So it's been kind of overwhelming.
I'm listening to you talking, I'm like, wow, that must be really nice.
I know. I'm shocked. I told you I had to pause and think about it. I know, but I was like, wow, like, I actually feel hopeful.
That's good.
It might just be naive. I mean, the logical part of me will weigh in here, but my spiritual self, my heart, actually feels kind of good about Advent. Kind of looking, I feel like I'm doing Advent right, and it's easy not to.
Yeah.
It's easy to get weighed down in the drudgery of your life or your work and like put the spiritual stuff off, even though we do practice things where it's just still kind of something else on the checklist.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm having a good Advent of actually like taking the time for preparation.
That's good.
And I'm looking forward to it. So nice. The end of it, but not in like a whew, it's done way. Like
right,
in a,
right.
It's really a happening way.
Yeah.
All right. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I think.
Any bright spots?
I mean, there are. Okay. I think it would be, you know, a bit hyperbolic to be like, no, there's no bright spots. But I do think, you know, I'm a little bit envious now of your rundown of being like, no, it's just kind of clicking, because I think for me, I'm going through some of the same motions that I'm used to, you know, things that usually work for me. And generally speaking, in kind of accessing the resources that I tend to go to, I find a song that really speaks to me for Advent, or I find that I go to church and there is something that really like resonates, and I walk away being like, that's why I love Advent, or that's.
Yeah.
And so far it's kind of like I'm doing some of the same stuff and not necessarily getting the little bit of hopefulness. Mm-hmm. I'm understanding the darkness.
I'm there for that, you know?
And again, there's always like some very easy answers that like little baby guess is for sure like a ray of hope.
I feel
but
like
I don't want to lean on that too much and be like, hey, baby, make me smile. Otherwise,
baby, I haven't smiled yet. Apart. I wonder, though, like, is that part of the pressure on yourself? Like, you've, like, this should be the
I do most feel a little bit like
magical Advent-y because right. baby
because
guess is
I'm
here.
Because I'm seeing it through somebody else's eyes kind of for the first time. Yeah, I think there's some of that going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a lot of pressure.
But I would say outside of baby guess.
Yeah.
That family is providing like good joy, good hope, and that, you know, being able to connect with aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and all kinds of folks that, you know, kind of you go on
some of that.
I tend to do, you know, like summertime connect with people, and then I get into fall and I kind of go into my like cave, you know, and then the holidays is when I sort of come out and I go, oh, hey, there's other people in the world. And there has been plenty of opportunities for that in the last few weeks. And as Advent has gotten started, that's where I'm finding my joy. And I do think that's kind of the way it's supposed to work.
It feels like a
cop-out because it's like family is supposed to make you happy. But that's not the reality for everybody.
No, but it's okay that that's for you. I think for you a lot of time it is like in your reading and in your writing and in your music.
So for
and
once,
maybe this is
I'm finding it in interpersonal connections and I don't know what to do with myself.
You know, the most Jesuit of responses that I can conjure for you is like, you know, what is God saying to you through these people?
Right,
like,
totally.
God is speaking to you through these experiences.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not the encounter we want.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's just been pacing.
Yeah.
I like, it's not even like anything unusual or profound. I just have somehow a moment to kind of breathe it in.
Yeah.
So.
It's good.
Don't feel too jealous. Well, it could change in a moment.
And just, like, I'm going to keep looking, you know? Like, I'm going to keep...
Advent's not even halfway over.
Right. I hit those same resources, and maybe it'll be, you know, something clicks, and I hear the same song that I've listened to already that sounds different, or I find a new one, or I whatever, you
or
know?
The next interpersonal connection you
or
have.
Or the next interpersonal connection now that I'm a little
now
bit
that
more
you are open
attuned
to
the fact that God is speaking to me through my family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, that can be an important way to like enter into things, especially when things actually start to get stressful. The closer you get to Christmas, the more it's like, family.
Right. I might be in the first weekend of December high.
Right.
could pass away.
Totally.
But we know we do love this language of where will you find God? I think that's always like, it can sound like a cheesy line, but in the heart of it, the deeper part of it means like, are you open? Are you attuned? Are you looking for those moments? Because that's a habit and a practice. Yeah. Like anything else.
And what I always try to remember is that, like, for St. Ignatius of Loyola, like, his breakthrough moment was actually just sitting by the river that he had sat by dozens, if not hundreds of times before, and he had his moment where he went, I see this river differently. I see this field, that tree. I see it all differently than I ever have before. Mm-hmm. And now I realize that God has always been there, and my vision is what needed to change, you know, and... So the mundane everyday stuff, at some point you could wake up and realize, you know, how beautiful that thing is. So, yeah. You know, I'll keep my fingers crossed and hope that I have one of those moments before December 25th.
I believe it will happen.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, but in the meantime, I'll just have to be satisfied with, like, awesome time with my friends and family.
I mean, fine. Like, it's not this
And my
huge...
beer advent calendar.
I know.
And little baby guests. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Maybe.
Life is not terrible.
I think you have to find God in the small things. That would be your challenge.
For sure. So, speaking of the beer advent calendar.
Okay.
A quick conversation that we said we wanted to kind of finish with here.
Fun advent traditions. There's only really one.
There is. Right? Like,
I mean, there's advent wreath.
There's
that's
the
not, like,
wreath.
Super fun.
And then if you, I don't know if you ever, like, at Sunday school, like, if you ever made the rings where you do
the
paper
countdown, those are
countdown
fun.
The paper chain for
sure.
Advent, you know. So there's different little bits and pieces. There's the elf on the shelf, which is creepy.
I'm not counting that as any kind of advent thing. That's just, like, Pinterest mom's gone wild.
It's
like
it's a pre-Christmas tradition.
Okay. it's the pre-come of the arrival.
There's a small, the pre-coming of the Savior. Jesus.
So gross. That's how I feel about that. That's the elf on the shelf.
That. Wow.
Sorry.
I don't know that there could be a better description for the elf on the shelf than that.
It's like a waste of
Anywho,
everything.
Anywho, the Advent calendar is actually not just a pre-Christmas tradition. It's a true Advent tradition.
Yes.
And when you're a little kid, you get the Advent calendar and you open up the window and there's a chocolate there behind every little, like, cardboard panel.
Yes.
And that's very exciting.
That's the and there's many ways you can have an Advent calendar.
Yeah.
I actually want to shout out to my mom, right? Because she had, like, a fun candy cane one. That was cool. We, like, untied them.
Yeah.
It was very magical. I liked that a lot. So you can have candies or chocolate.
Totally.
And sometimes you get the ones that are, like, prayers or, like, little challenges, little things to do.
We've got one that's a little, it's like a handmade, hand-sewn little pockets, like little cubby holes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Christmas tree up above, and every day you pull out a new ornament and you Velcro it to the Christmas tree. It's good times.
Interactive.
Yeah, right?
So
you never know which one you're going to get because you forget where you put them all the year before when you took it down.
Yeah, and Advent calendars are so liturgically legit. Like, it's building anticipation and excitement, looking ahead, but it's not the big, you know, presents and
the
all this.
The feast is made better by the anticipation
exactly,
of the
you're
feast.
Preparing it.
Yeah. And so what we were talking about was if you could have an advent calendar, right? Because at some point you open up the little thing and there's a chocolate there. And then you hit an age where you eat the chocolate and you're like, oh, this is actually kind of a shitty chocolate. Like, this isn't that great of a thing.
And then you eat all of them at once and you're like, whatever, it's over. I got it.
And so what we were talking about was if you could have an advent calendar where – every day you open up, right? I've got my beer advent calendar this year, which is just fantastic.
Like, I think you're really winning at advent calendars.
It's a magical thing to be able to go and take a look at a new beer every day.
You've got a gold Saint Bonifacius can right now.
Right. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
But outside of booze, which is, you know, not our area of expertise.
Say what? Where?
Yeah, outside of the realm of booziness, what would be the perfect advent calendar? So you open it up and behind the little door every day, there is a blank.
Of course, good chocolate would be nice, but I want a good surprise. Chocolate. Like, I don't want to pick.
Yeah.
That's the joy of the calendar is this the surprise of it. Like, if it's not booze or candy... And if it's an advent calendar, is it money? Like, I don't know.
I personally, I'd like dinner. Like, I would like to be able to open up a window and there is dinner. Nobody has to cook.
Like Willy Wonka style, like on a stick of gum?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. If that works, like anything, as long as we don't have to cook and it's delicious, it's just like, and it's free or it's already paid for by whoever gave you the calendar.
Right.
Shout out to Haggard.
Hey, Haggard.
For the beer advent calendar.
So angry.
But. Like, you know, a full meal. You just open it up and boom, piping hot. There it is. It's the 10th day of Advent. Here is your steak and potatoes or whatever it is that you want tonight.
I think those are just like called vending machines in Japan. I think that exists. I think you can get that. Guess we know what you're getting to make your Advent wonderful.
Coming into this night, I knew one thing about Japan, and it was that that's where sushi comes from.
Oh.
And now I know two things. They give you meals in a vending machine.
I'm pretty sure
but
they
I
do.
Swear to God, I will never eat sushi out of a vending machine.
I don't think that's a thing either.
It doesn't
that's
combine.
Gross.
They don't combine it.
I don't think they even eat sushi like we eat sushi. No,
anyway.
Maybe like French fries and shit, like American food. Like they're not gonna
right
eat
out of a vending
maybe
machine.
Maybe rice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. But that would be pretty cool.
That'd be my
any
ideal
meal of the day. Like, I would be more interested in a brunch advent calendar.
Sure. I mean,
could I get waffles?
you can't double dip with the meal advent calendar. Oh, you can't open it up like in the morning and get breakfast mm-hmm. and then again later on, right? Because so every day you only open it up once.
Yeah.
But if you want brunch,
whenever you open it,
open it up at brunch time, and there it is.
It's pretty magical.
Yeah, that would be my ideal advent calendar, I think.
That is really creative, and I would just want any kind of magical advent calendar, which that would fall under.
Right.
Like, I want it to open up and just give me the thing I need for that day.
So this is, yeah, we were kind of talking about the idea that, like, what if there was a predictive advent calendar?
Yeah, well, because you would just open it and be like, oh, like, today's a chocolate day. Like, right. Nothing too horrible is happening to me if the advent calendar is only giving me a chocolate.
So you wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. You open up your advent calendar window, and it gives you what it thinks or what it knows you are going to need
it's
for that day.
Preparation. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you wake it up, or you open it up, and it gives you a chocolate, and it's going to be a normal day. But open it up, and there's, for example, vodka. Going to be a rough day.
That's going to be a rougher day.
Going to be a rough day.
But still within the realm of normal.
Maybe it gives you an umbrella because it knows that it's going to rain, right? Like, so there's, it's telling
you. Or, yeah, it gives you, like, the bus pass you need.
Right.
Or, like, your credit card that you're going to lose later.
Right, right. Yeah, it gives you the thing that you're going to need most that day, right? So it predicts where you will be unprepared.
Right.
Right? So the day where you open it up and there's, like, you know, a butcher knife.
Oh, my gosh.
You would be like, okay. Option A, I need to cook a meal
at somebody else's house
and they don't have a knife that I need or my knife is too dull or whatever. Or option B, like, I'm going to defend myself against a home intruder. I'm going to need this butcher knife for something.
Yes.
Which I would not want to defend myself against a home intruder with a butcher knife. But that's actually probably the best option.
It's like a lot of blood to kill with stabbing.
Yeah. It's either that or a baseball bat. Those are the only two things that I've got.
Both are rather dire.
Yeah.
Maybe just an alarm system.
Yeah. And if you open it up and there's, like, something just, like, really mysterious. Like, here's a Montreal Expos baseball hat. And you're like, what the fuck?
And then you're going to, like, meet this person who's, like, had it in. They change your life or, like, give you the job of your dreams. Or, like, a lottery ticket.
That would be a good one.
If you had a predictive magical advent calendar and one day it gives you a lottery ticket, you're like, this is what I needed most.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty great.
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah.
I don't think that's what Advent's about in any way, though.
No.
just so we're clear.
But it would be, for sure, the best advent calendar
I would want
created.
Advent to last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a magical predictive. Is that, did you ever watch, there was this show back in the day, dear listeners, called Early Edition, where Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights, back in the day, he had a cat, and there was always a cat walking around in his apartment, and he would get the morning paper that told him what that day's news was. So rather than telling you what happened yesterday, the morning paper would say, here's what's going to happen today. And he would spend his whole day running around trying to, like, put out fires, like, save people's lives and all kinds of stuff. And then the newspaper would change if he did it right.
And he'd know.
It's our early edition advent calendar. Here's what you need today.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. And this was, once again, back into our time traveling escapist realities that we would like to live in.
Totally. So we're right back in our summertime.
We're right back to it. Guess what?
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Well, we'd love to know where you are finding light in the terrible darkness, or what you like about the darkness or lights, and what would be your
advent calendar treat?
Yeah. You can tweet at us at ChurchDrunkPod.
Yeah.
You can email us, churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yes.
And next time we will be kind of wrapping up the examine with what are the best parts? Like, never forget the look ahead bit. Well, the listen bit and then the look ahead bit.
The listen. Yeah. So we will be continuing our Advent examine and moving to the next step. And we look forward to you joining us. Hopefully you look forward to joining us next time.
On Church Drunk.
Yeah, on Church Drunk.
Where whatever you open the advent calendar, you might get what you want.
You never know what you're going to get.
Booze.
Life is like an advent calendar.
Chocolate.
You never know what you're going to get. Cheers.
Jesus. Cheers.